Theodora Penrose nearly stopped walking when she heard the servants whispering.
Do you think they'll do the same thing again?
A young maid asked nervously. The older servant immediately looked around the corridor.
Keep your voice down.
But what really happened to Miss Kingsley?
Theodora slowed her pace.
One day, Sylvia Kingsley was the future bride of Briarwood House.
What happened to her?
The next day, she was gone.
Theodora felt a chill. Gone. Before she could hear more, a footman rushed toward them.
The engagement gown has arrived from London!
The servants scattered. Minutes later, Theodora entered the drawing room carrying a silver tray. Hidden beneath a servant's uniform, she watched the family she was supposed to marry into. At the center of the room stood an enormous ivory box, her engagement gown. Duchess Honoria smiled as the lid was opened. The room gasped. The dress was stunning. Lady Verity admired the pearls stitched into the silk.
This will look beautiful. Make sure she looks absolutely perfect.
Edgar Hollowmere raised his glass.
Beautiful women attract sympathy.
A few guests laughed. Then Lionel Montague spoke.
Especially before they disappear.
Silence. Theodora's heart skipped a beat. The conversation she had overheard moments earlier echoed inside her mind. Sylvia Kingsley, future bride, gone. No one laughed at Lionel's remark. Not Edgar, not Duchess Honoria, not Duke Oswald. For a brief moment, fear appeared on every face in the room, and suddenly Theodora realized something terrifying. She had come to Briarwood House disguised as a servant to investigate her future husband, but she might have just uncovered the first clue to a secret someone had spent years trying to bury. Before we continue, don't forget to like and subscribe to the channel, and tell us in the comments, if you were Theodora, would you leave immediately or stay and discover what happened to Sylvia Kingsley? Now let's begin.
The estate was beautiful. The people living inside it were not. The morning sun poured through tall windows as servants carried silver trays across the breakfast hall. Fresh bread, butter, smoked ham, eggs, fruit preserves, and steaming tea filled the long table. The food alone could have fed several struggling families for days. Yet, when breakfast ended, Duchess Honoria glanced at the untouched dishes with disgust. "Throw it away," one servant hesitated. "Your Grace, there is enough remaining for the staff quarters." "I said, throw it away." The room fell silent. The servant lowered her head. "Yes, Your Grace." Honoria rose from her chair and adjusted the lace cuffs on her sleeves. If servants begin eating as well as their employers, they forget their place. Theodora felt her stomach tighten. She watched two footmen carry trays of perfectly good food toward the waste bins behind the kitchens. Not a single servant dared object. Later that afternoon, Theodora helped polish silverware in one of the side rooms when raised voices echoed from the corridor. She stepped outside and found a young maid trembling near the staircase. A broken vase lay scattered across the floor. Duchess Honoria stood over her. "You careless girl." Tears filled the maid's eyes. "I'm sorry, Your Grace. I tripped." "Excuses are the language of incompetence." The frightened girl tried to explain herself. Honoria raised one hand. "Enough." The Duchess turned toward the housekeeper. "Deduct the cost from her wages." The maid's face drained of color. Theodora knew the vase probably cost more than the girl earned in several months. Honoria walked away without another glance. To her, the matter was finished. To the servant, it was a disaster. Theodora was still thinking about the incident when Lady Verity Montague summoned several maids to her private sitting room. Unlike her mother, Verity rarely shouted. She preferred humiliation. The room smelled of expensive perfume and fresh roses. Dresses from London hung beside the wardrobe, while jewelry sparkled across polished tables. Verity stood before a mirror examining a pale blue gown. "You," she pointed directly at Theodora. "Come here." Theodora stepped forward. Verity looked her up and down. "You are remarkably plain." Several maids lowered their eyes. Verity smiled.
I suppose that is fortunate. A pretty servant can become troublesome. A few women exchanged uncomfortable glances. Theodora remained silent. Verity circled her slowly. Tell me, has anyone ever mistaken you for a lady? A burst of laughter escaped one of Verity's companions. Theodora shook her head. No, my lady. How sensible. Verity seemed pleased. Moments later, she lifted a teacup from a nearby table. Then, without warning, she tilted her wrist. Tea spilled directly across her front of the dress. Gasps filled the room. Verity stared at the stain. Oh, dear. Theodora had clearly seen what happened. The spill had been deliberate. Verity slowly turned toward Theodora. You did that. Theodora blinked. My lady? You startled me. Verity's expression hardened. Now look what you've done. Every maid in the room knew the accusation was false. None spoke. Theodora felt disbelief rise inside her. You expect me to attend dinner looking like this? Verity demanded. No, my lady. Then kneel. Theodora froze. Kneel and clean it. The room became painfully quiet. For several seconds, she simply stared at the woman. This was Edgar Hollowmere's sister, a woman who believed she would soon become family, a woman treating another human being as though she were less than furniture. Slowly, Theodora knelt. Verity continued insulting her while she cleaned the fabric. The comments grew increasingly cruel. She mocked servants. She mocked poor women. She mocked anyone without status. Every sentence revealed another layer of arrogance. When the stain was finally removed, Verity dismissed her with a flick of her hand. Theodora left the room feeling shaken. The insults themselves did not hurt. What troubled her was realizing these people showed their true character only when they believed nobody important was watching. That evening, as candles illuminated the grand corridors of Briarwood House, Theodora looked around the magnificent estate once more. The chandeliers glittered, the marble floors shone, the paintings and furniture spoke of generations of wealth. From the outside, the Hollowmere family appeared perfect. Inside, fear followed every servant through the halls, and for the first time since arriving, Theodora found herself wondering whether accepting this engagement would be the greatest mistake of her life.
By her fourth day at Briarwood House, Theodora had begun paying closer attention to the parts of the estate most visitors never saw. The grand halls and reception rooms displayed wealth and refinement, but the offices, storage rooms, and account chambers told a different story. That afternoon, she carried a basket of freshly folded linens toward the eastern wing when she noticed two footmen struggling with several wooden crates. One of the crates had split open. Inside were expensive bottles of imported French perfume. Another contained silk gloves and ribbons from London. Theodora frowned. Only yesterday she had overheard servants discussing delayed wages and suppliers demanding payment, yet luxury goods continued arriving almost daily. As she passed, one footman muttered under his breath, "Another shipment for Lady Verity." His companion shook his head. "At this rate, she'll spend the estate into the ground herself." Theodora continued walking, pretending not to hear. Later that evening, she was sent to deliver fresh candles to a rarely used corridor near the family offices. The hallway remained quiet at that hour. Most servants avoided the area unless instructed otherwise. As she approached one of the closed doors, voices drifted into the corridor. She immediately recognized them. Duchess Honoria, Lady Verity. Theodora paused. The door was not fully shut. A narrow gap remained between the frame and the wall. Inside, papers covered a large mahogany desk. Several ledgers lay open. The atmosphere sounded tense. Honoria rubbed her temples. The creditors are becoming impatient. Verity sank into a chair. Then perhaps Edgar should stop gambling. Theodora's eyes widened. For the first time, someone inside the family had openly acknowledged the problem. Honoria's voice sharpened. Complaining about your brother will not solve anything. Verity reached for a biscuit from a silver plate. And marrying Miss Penrose will. The room fell silent. Theodora moved closer. Every instinct told her she should leave. Instead, she remained perfectly still. Honoria folded her hands. It will solve everything. Verity laughed softly. The poor woman has no idea. Theodora's stomach tightened. Honoria's reply came without hesitation. I do not care whether Miss Penrose is intelligent. Theodora held her breath. I care whether she signs. For several seconds, nobody spoke. The words struck harder than Theodora expected, not because they were insulting, because they were honest. She was not being discussed as a future daughter-in-law. She was being discussed as a financial transaction. Verity reached for her tea. Once she's married, she'll learn her place. Theodora felt heat rise in her chest. The casual cruelty in Verity's voice was impossible to ignore. Neither woman spoke about friendship. Neither spoke about family. Neither spoke about welcoming her into Briarwood House. Everything revolved around control, money, influence, possession. Honoria folded several pages inside a ledger. Once the agreement is completed, Golden House Estate will secure this family's future. Verity smiled. And mine. Theodora listened carefully. What exactly do you plan to do with your share? Honoria asked. Verity immediately brightened. The change in her voice was almost childlike. I've already selected 3 gowns from Paris. Honoria sighed. You purchased more dresses last month. I know. A great many of them. I know. Then why continue? Verity shrugged. Because I like them. Theodora could hardly believe what she was hearing. The estate appeared to be facing financial difficulties, yet Verity showed no concern whatsoever. Instead, she began listing purchases she intended to make after the engagement. Jewelry, furniture, horses, a private carriage, even a villa she hoped to visit abroad. Each item sounded more expensive than the last. Not once did she question whether the money belonged to her. In her mind, her inheritance was already theirs. The conversation continued for several minutes. Every sentence deepened her unease. Eventually, footsteps sounded somewhere farther down the corridor. She quickly stepped away from the door and continued walking before anyone could discover her. The basket felt heavier than before. Her thoughts raced as she descended the staircase. Until now, she had suspected the Hollowmere family viewed the engagement as advantageous. Now she understood something far worse. They were not preparing to welcome her into their lives. They were preparing to take control of hers. As candlelight flickered across the marble walls of Briarwood House, Theodora reached her small servant's room and quietly closed the door behind her. For the first time since arriving at the estate, she considered ending the engagement immediately. But one question continued to trouble her. If the Hollowmeres were willing to speak so openly about controlling her future, what else were they hiding behind the polished image they presented to the world?
The conversation Theodora had overheard between Duchess Honoria and Lady Verity refused to leave her thoughts. For 2 days she carried out her duties while quietly observing the estate, but one question continued returning to her mind. Who was Sylvia Kingsley? The name seemed to cast a shadow over Briarwood House. Whenever it appeared in conversation, voices lowered, expressions changed, people became uncomfortable. Theodora decided she needed answers. One rainy afternoon, she was assigned to help prepare vegetables in the servants' kitchen. The large room smelled of onions, fresh bread, herbs, and simmering broth. Rain tapped steadily against the windows while cooks moved between stoves and preparation tables. The atmosphere felt relaxed compared to the rigid formality of the main house. For the first time all day, servants spoke freely. Theodora sat beside an elderly kitchen maid while peeling potatoes. After several minutes, she carefully asked a question. Was Miss Kingsley a relative of the family? The knife in the older woman's hand stopped moving. For a moment, she simply stared at the cutting board. No. Theodora waited. The woman sighed. She was supposed to marry Mr. Hollowmere. Several servants nearby exchanged uneasy looks. Theodora kept her expression neutral. Was she here long? Nearly a year. The answer surprised her. Nearly a year, far longer than a simple courtship visit. The elderly servant resumed cutting vegetables. She arrived smiling. The woman shook her head sadly. Toward the end, she rarely smiled at all. Theodora felt a knot form in her stomach. What happened? Nobody answered immediately. A young scullery maid finally spoke. Lady Verity happened. The room became quiet. The elderly servant shot the girl a warning look. The younger maid lowered her voice. They argued constantly. Theodora's attention sharpened. Argued about what? Everything. The girl shrugged. Her clothes. Her manners. The way she spoke. The way she sat. The list continued. Lady Verity always found something to criticize. Another servant joined the conversation. I remember hearing them shouting from the music room. Theodora looked toward him. Was it serious? He nodded. Serious enough for half the household to hear. The information unsettled her. The Verity she knew was cruel and arrogant, but this sounded more personal, more deliberate, as though Verity had specifically targeted Sylvia. The elderly kitchen maid finally spoke again. I once found Miss Kingsley crying. The room grew still. Theodora looked at her. Crying? The woman nodded slowly. She had just left Lady Verity's private sitting room. A sad expression crossed her face. Her eyes were red. Her hands were shaking. What did she say? Nothing. The servant stared into the distance. She tried to smile. Then she went upstairs. The woman swallowed. I never forgot it. Theodora felt increasingly uneasy. People did not cry after every disagreement. Whatever had happened between Sylvia and Verity seemed deeper than ordinary tension. Later that evening, another piece of information reached her unexpectedly. She had been dusting a hallway cabinet when two footmen passed nearby, carrying boxes. One box accidentally slipped. The lid fell open. Inside were expensive riding accessories wrapped in tissue paper. The footman groaned. Another delivery for Lady Verity. His companion rolled his eyes. At least these aren't as costly as the jewelry. Theodora listened quietly. More jewelry? The second footman laughed bitterly. You must be new. The men continued walking. Every week it's something. Silks, hats, perfume, jewels, new gowns. The first footman lowered his voice, and all while the estate struggles to pay its bills. Theodora remembered the ledgers she had seen, the financial problems, the creditors, the desperation hidden beneath the family's polished image. Yet Verity continued spending without restraint. A disturbing realization began to form. Sylvia Kingsley had once been Edgar Hollamere's future bride. Sylvia and Verity frequently argued. Several servants remembered Sylvia leaving private meetings, visibly distressed. Then Sylvia disappeared. Now another wealthy heiress was expected to marry into the same family. Theodora stared into the darkness. She had no proof, no evidence, only questions. Yet for the first time since arriving at Briarwood House, she found herself wondering whether Lady Verity's role in Sylvia Kingsley's story had been far more significant than anyone wanted to admit.
The room smelled faintly of lavender and old paper. A small fire burned inside the stone fireplace, while rain tapped gently against the cottage windows. For several moments, neither woman spoke. Theodora sat opposite Sylvia Kingsley, studying the face that Briarwood House seemed determined to erase from history. She had expected anger, perhaps bitterness. Instead, she saw exhaustion, the kind that settled deep inside a person after years of carrying pain alone. Sylvia wrapped both hands around a cup of tea. The porcelain trembled slightly between her fingers. "You've met Lady Verity, haven't you?" she asked quietly. Theodora nodded. A humorless smile crossed Sylvia's face. "Then you've already seen a small part of who she really is." The fire crackled softly. Outside, the rain continued falling. For the first time since arriving at Briarwood House, Theodora would finally hear the truth from someone who had lived through it. "When I arrived at Briarwood House," Sylvia began, "I thought Verity simply disliked me." Her gaze drifted toward the window. At first, the criticism seemed harmless. Theodora listened carefully. Sylvia described her first weeks at the estate. Every breakfast became an examination, every dinner became a performance, every conversation became an opportunity for humiliation. "If I wore blue, she insisted it made me look pale." Sylvia's voice remained calm. "If I wore green, she claimed it clashed with my complexion." Theodora could easily imagine it. Verity possessed a talent for turning ordinary situations into weapons. "It never stopped with clothing." Sylvia stared into her tea. "She criticized the way I sat, the way I laughed, the way I held a teacup, the way I spoke." A painful silence followed. Nothing was ever acceptable. Theodora felt anger building inside her chest. The behavior sounded disturbingly familiar. Verity had already begun treating her in similar ways while believing she was only a servant. The difference was that Sylvia had endured it as a future member of the family. Edgar always dismissed it, Sylvia continued. He said his sister was spirited. A bitter expression appeared briefly. That word can hide many ugly things. Theodora remained silent. She wanted Sylvia to continue. Eventually, the older woman leaned back in her chair. What troubled Verity most was my background. Theodora frowned. Your background? Sylvia nodded. My family earned its wealth through trade. She looked down. We were respectable. We were educated. We were welcomed by society, but we were not aristocrats. Understanding slowly settled over Theodora. Verity considered herself superior, not because of character, because of birth. She never allowed me to forget it. Sylvia's eyes darkened. Whenever guests visited, she found ways to remind people that I was not born into nobility. Theodora felt disgust. The cruelty sounded deliberate, calculated, designed to undermine confidence. And when I tried to leave? Sylvia's voice became quieter. That was when things became worse. Theodora sat forward. Sylvia placed her cup aside. The memories clearly remained painful. I attempted to end the engagement twice. Theodora's heart tightened. What happened? Sylvia gave a sad laugh. Verity happened. The answer came immediately. No hesitation, no uncertainty, only certainty. She spread stories. Theodora's expression hardened. What kind of stories? Sylvia looked away. That I was unstable, ungrateful, untrue. Each accusation struck like a stone. She whispered them at dinners, at garden parties, at charity events. The room felt colder. Within Victorian society, reputation could determine a person's entire future. A rumor spoken by the right people could ruin lives. I began receiving fewer invitations, Sylvia continued. People stopped trusting me. Friends became distant. Theodora felt sick. Verity had not merely insulted Sylvia, she had actively worked to isolate her, to weaken her support, to ensure she had nowhere to turn. By the time I realized what was happening, Sylvia said quietly, many people already believed her. The firelight reflected in her eyes. For the first time, Theodora saw the depth of the wound Verity had left behind. Not physical, emotional, social, psychological. A campaign designed to break another woman, piece by piece. Theodora thought back to every servant she had seen trembling in Verity's presence, every cruel remark, every act of humiliation. Until now, she had viewed Verity as arrogant. Now she understood something far worse. Verity enjoyed power, especially power over women she viewed as rivals. The realization changed everything. This was no longer a story about a difficult sister-in-law, nor was it simply a tale of family conflict. As the rain continued falling outside the cottage, Theodora began to understand that Verity Hollamere had not been a passive witness to Sylvia Kingsley's destruction. She had helped create it.
Theodora noticed it the moment she returned from meeting Sylvia. Servants no longer chatted comfortably in the kitchens. Conversations stopped whenever footsteps approached. Doors were closed more quickly. People looked over their shoulders before speaking. Fear had settled over the estate. Something had happened. By the following morning, everyone knew what it was. Duchess Honoria stood in the center of the servants' hall while the entire household staff gathered before her. The room smelled faintly of soap, damp coats, and coal smoke from the nearby kitchen fires. Her expression was colder than usual. A valuable item has gone missing. A nervous murmur spread through the room. Honoria raised her hand. It appears someone among the staff has forgotten their place. Theodora immediately sensed danger. The accusation sounded vague, deliberately vague. The Duchess slowly walked between rows of servants. We cannot allow dishonesty inside Briarwood House. Nobody spoke.
Several servants stared at the floor. Others looked terrified. Honoria stopped beside the housekeeper. Beginning today, rooms will be inspected. Theodora's stomach tightened. The Duchess continued. Personal belongings will be searched. A few servants exchanged shocked looks. If the thief is discovered, dismissal will be immediate. The room fell silent. Theodora understood the real purpose instantly. This was not about stolen property. Someone inside the family suspected information was leaking. They were hunting for answers, and everyone was now under suspicion. The searches began that afternoon. Trunks were opened, drawers emptied, letters examined, private possessions scattered across beds. Theodora watched frightened maids attempt to defend themselves while footmen searched through clothing and personal keepsakes. By evening, the rumors had spread throughout the estate. A thief, a spy, a troublemaker. Nobody knew which story was true. The uncertainty achieved exactly what Honoria wanted. Servants stopped trusting one another. Meanwhile, Lady Verity seemed unusually interested in one person, Theodora. For days, Verity had observed her from a distance. Now she began creating opportunities to keep her nearby. Theodora sensed the change immediately. One afternoon, she was summoned to Verity's private sitting room. The chamber was filled with expensive furnishings. Fresh flowers stood beside the windows. Silk dresses hung from wardrobes. Jewelry boxes rested atop polished tables. Verity sat comfortably beside a tea service while examining a fashion magazine from London. "You." Theodora stepped forward. "My lady." Verity smiled. The expression never reached her eyes. "Pour the tea." Theodora obeyed. Verity watched every movement carefully, far too carefully. Something about the attention made Theodora uneasy. Once the tea was served, Verity stirred her cup slowly. "You are surprisingly well-spoken for a servant." Theodora's pulse quickened. "I try to speak properly, my lady." Verity smiled again. "Clearly." The room grew quiet. Then came the first question. "What is the capital of Austria?" Theodora nearly froze. The question seemed harmless, yet she immediately recognized the trap. Most servants would have little reason to know such information. Noble women, however, were often educated in geography. Theodora lowered her eyes. "I do not know, my lady." Verity studied her face. For a moment, neither woman moved. Then another question followed. "What language is spoken in Florence?" Theodora kept her expression blank. "I could not say." Verity tapped one finger against her teacup. The sound echoed softly through the room. Theodora understood exactly what was happening. She was testing her, searching for signs, looking for proof that she was not who she claimed to be. The conversation continued. Books, history, foreign cities, subjects commonly taught to wealthy daughters. Each answer required careful balance. Too knowledgeable, and she would expose herself. Too ignorant, and she would appear suspicious. The conversation felt like walking across thin ice. One mistake could destroy everything. Finally, Verity leaned back in her chair. Disappointment flashed briefly across her face. She had found nothing. At least, not yet. "You may go." Theodora bowed politely. Relief flooded through her as she left the room. Only after reaching the corridor did she allow herself to breathe normally. She had escaped, barely, but the encounter confirmed something important. Verity no longer viewed her as an ordinary servant. She was suspicious, and suspicion made Verity dangerous. That evening, Theodora crossed paths with several frightened maids returning from another round of room inspections. The searches continued, the rumors continued, the pressure continued. Briarwood House felt less like a home and more like a fortress searching for an invisible enemy. As darkness settled beyond the estate windows, Theodora stood alone in the corridor and considered everything that had happened. Honoria was tightening her grip on the household. Verity was actively investigating her. The family was becoming increasingly desperate, and desperate people often made reckless decisions. For the first time since arriving at Briarwood House, Theodora realized she was running out of time. If she wanted to uncover the truth before the Hollowmeres discovered her identity, she would have to move faster than they did.
The campaign against Theodora Penrose began long before most people realized it existed. By the time she discovered what was happening, the rumors had already spread beyond Briarwood House. They moved through drawing rooms, across dinner tables, between ladies attending charity events and gentlemen gathered in private clubs. Each retelling carried the same message. Miss Penrose was unstable. Miss Penrose was difficult. Miss Penrose was unfit for marriage. Theodora first learned of it while serving refreshments during a small luncheon hosted by Duchess Honoria. Several prominent women from neighboring estates had gathered inside the sunroom overlooking the gardens. Fresh roses decorated the tables. Delicate pastries, cucumber sandwiches, fruit tarts, and imported tea had been arranged with perfect care. The atmosphere appeared pleasant. The conversation was not. As Theodora poured tea, she listened quietly. Lady Verity sat near the center of the gathering. Every woman seemed eager to hear her opinions. Verity lowered her voice just enough to appear discreet. "I should not say this." Several guests leaned closer. "But Miss Penrose has become increasingly difficult." A woman seated nearby frowned. "Difficult in what way?" Verity sighed dramatically. "She changes her mind constantly." Another woman raised her eyebrows. "How unfortunate." Verity offered a sympathetic smile. "Appearances can be misleading." Theodora forced herself to continue serving tea. Inside, anger burned. These women had never met her, yet they were already forming opinions, not from facts, from carefully planted rumors. Across the table, Duchess Honoria calmly added sugar to her tea. Then she quietly joined the conversation. "Miss Penrose has endured a great deal of pressure." The statement sounded supportive, until Honoria continued. "Sadly, not everyone handles pressure well." The room fell silent. The implication hung in the air. Theodora understood exactly what Honoria was doing. Verity spread the rumor. Honoria legitimized it. Together, they created a story that appeared reasonable, concerned, compassionate, which made it even more dangerous. By the end of the luncheon, several guests appeared genuinely worried about a woman they had never spoken to. Theodora left the room feeling shaken. The manipulation was disturbingly effective. Over the following days, she witnessed similar conversations unfold repeatedly. At dinners, garden parties, charity meetings, everywhere Verity traveled, she carried the same narrative. The details varied slightly, the purpose never changed. One evening, while arranging flowers in the music room, Theodora overheard Verity speaking with the wife of a local baron. "Poor Edgar." Verity shook her head sadly. The woman frowned. "Is something wrong?" Verity hesitated. The performance looked almost convincing. "He deserves happiness." "Of course." Verity sighed. "I only wish Miss Penrose were easier to manage." Theodora nearly laughed at the absurdity. "Manage." The word revealed more than Verity intended. To the Hollimeres, marriage was not a partnership. It was ownership. The campaign continued gaining momentum. Soon Theodora noticed servants discussing the rumors. Some believed them, others did not, but uncertainty had entered the conversation. That uncertainty alone served the Hollimere's purpose. One afternoon, Theodora finally overheard the conversation that explained everything. She was passing a sitting room carrying fresh linens when familiar voices reached her ears, Honoria and Verity. The door stood slightly open. Inside, mother and daughter reviewed a list of guests expected to attend the engagement announcement. Verity appeared pleased. "The rumors are working." Honoria nodded. "They needed to." Theodora stopped walking. Verity smiled. "If she causes problems later, society will already have an explanation." The words sent a chill through Theodora. Honoria calmly folded a letter. "Exactly." Neither woman sounded ashamed, neither sounded uncertain. This was strategy, nothing more. Verity leaned back in her chair. "If Miss Penrose resists the engagement, people will assume the fault lies with her." Honoria smiled, "and not with us." For several moments, Theodora remained frozen outside the door. The truth had finally become clear. This was never about reputation alone. It was protection, a shield. The Holomirs were preparing for the possibility that she might refuse them, and if she did, society would already be prepared to believe she was unstable, unreasonable, and incapable of making sound decisions. Theodora quietly walked away before they could discover her listening. As she crossed the long corridor lined with portraits and candlelight, her expression hardened. The rumors no longer felt like ordinary gossip. They were part of a larger plan, a plan designed to ensure that no matter what happened next, the Holomir family would appear innocent while she carried the blame. And that realization frightened her far more than any rumor ever could.
Crystal chandeliers illuminated the polished marble floors, while servants moved between guests carrying silver trays filled with champagne, pastries, smoked salmon canapés, and delicate cakes imported from London. Members of the aristocracy filled every corner of the room. Wealthy landowners, titled families, magistrates, and influential social figures had gathered to celebrate what was supposed to be one of the most prestigious engagements of the season. Instead, they were about to witness the destruction of a dynasty. The atmosphere shifted the moment Sylvia Kingsley entered the room. Conversation died instantly. Several guests stared in disbelief. Others looked genuinely frightened. For years, society had accepted the story that Sylvia had quietly disappeared from public life. Now she stood before them, alive. Duchess Honoria's face lost all color. Lady Verity's confident smile vanished. Theodora watched from across the ballroom as panic spread through the Holomir family. Sylvia stepped forward calmly. Unlike the frightened young woman Verity had spent years tormenting, she now carried herself with quiet certainty. She was no longer alone. Several witnesses accompanied her. Among them were former servants from Briarwood House, people Honoria had dismissed years earlier. People whose voices had never mattered until now. The first witness was an elderly former maid. Her hands trembled slightly as she addressed the room. "I served this family for 18 years." The ballroom remained silent. She looked directly at Honoria. The Duchess threatened staff whenever Miss Kingsley asked questions. A murmur spread through the crowd. The maid continued, "Many servants were warned never to speak privately with Miss Kingsley." Another witness stepped forward, a former footman. He described the atmosphere inside the house during Sylvia's engagement. The household lived in fear. Several guests exchanged uneasy glances. The footman pointed toward Honoria. People who disagreed with her were dismissed. The accusations continued, one after another. Each testimony chipped away at the respectable image Honoria had spent years constructing. For the first time, the aristocrats who admired her saw a different woman, not a dignified duchess, a bully who ruled through intimidation. Then attention shifted toward Verity. A leather document case was opened. Inside were letters, dozens of them. Theodora recognized them immediately, the evidence Oliver had spent weeks gathering. One letter was handed to a respected magistrate attending the event. He read several passages aloud. The room grew increasingly uncomfortable. The words belonged to Verity, her own handwriting, her own signature. The letters revealed a campaign of gossip directed against Sylvia years earlier. Verity had written to acquaintances throughout society. She described Sylvia as unstable, manipulative, unsuitable, the same accusations she had later attempted to use against Theodora. Guests began whispering among themselves. Some looked shocked, others looked embarrassed for having believed those lies. A second letter proved even worse. Verity openly discussed isolating Sylvia from important social circles. She encouraged friends to distance themselves from her. The purpose was obvious: destroy Sylvia's reputation before Sylvia could defend herself. The ballroom erupted with murmurs. Several women who had once participated in those social circles looked horrified. One elderly countess slowly shook her head. "I remember those rumors." The realization clearly disturbed her. "We all believed them." Verity's face had become pale. For years she had enjoyed humiliating other women. Now every person in the room was witnessing her own humiliation. The shift in power was impossible to ignore.
She attempted to speak, attempted to defend herself, but every explanation collapsed beneath the weight of written evidence. Across the ballroom, Honoria appeared equally defeated. The former servants continued describing the fear that had existed inside Briarwood House, the intimidation, the threats, the pressure. The polished image carefully maintained for society was crumbling in public. Theodora watched many guests physically distance themselves from the family. People who once sought the Holomir's approval now avoided eye contact. No one wanted to be associated with the scandal. By the end of the evening, the room felt completely different. The arrogance that had defined Honoria and Verity throughout the years was gone. In its place stood two women forced to face public judgment, the same judgment they had imposed on others so freely. As whispers spread throughout the ballroom and guests quietly turned away from them, Theodora realized something important. For the first time in many years, neither Honoria nor Verity possessed the power to control the story. The truth belonged to everyone now, and Briarwood House would never recover from it.
3 weeks after the scandal that shattered Briarwood House, the estate no longer resembled the place Theodora had first entered, disguised as a servant. The grand gates remained open, but visitors rarely arrived. The elegant carriages that once lined the entrance road had disappeared. The constant stream of aristocratic guests had vanished. Even the gardens looked neglected. Dead leaves gathered along pathways once maintained with obsessive care. The estate had not physically fallen apart, its reputation had, and in Victorian society, reputation was often more valuable than wealth. Theodora visited the nearby village on a cool autumn afternoon. Golden sunlight filtered through the trees while merchants arranged vegetables, bread, fruit, and fresh flowers outside their shops. The atmosphere felt lighter than it had in months. People spoke more freely. Smiles appeared more easily. The fear surrounding the Holomir family was gone. As she passed a small bakery, she noticed several familiar faces gathered outside, former servants from Briarwood House, the same people who had spent years enduring Honoria's control and Verity's cruelty. A long wooden table stood beneath a large oak tree. Fresh loaves of bread, roasted chicken, apple tarts, cheese, and warm tea covered the surface. Someone had organized a celebration. Not an extravagant one, a simple gathering among people who finally felt safe. The elderly maid who testified against Honoria sat near the center of the group. For the first time since Theodora met her, the woman looked relaxed. No nervous glances, no fear of punishment, no anxiety about who might be listening. Just peace. When she noticed Theodora approaching, her face brightened. Miss Penrose! Several others immediately stood to greet her. Theodora smiled warmly. Please sit. The older woman laughed. After everything that happened, nobody here wishes to stand on ceremony. The comment drew gentle laughter from the group. Theodora accepted a cup of tea and joined them. As the afternoon continued, stories began emerging. Not stories about wealth or status, stories about survival. One former kitchen maid described how Honoria had deducted wages for accidents that were not her fault. Another servant recalled being threatened with dismissal simply for speaking to guests. A former footman described years of walking on eggshells whenever Verity entered a room. The details varied. The pattern remained the same. Fear, control, humiliation. Theodora listened quietly. Many of these people had carried painful memories for years without believing anyone would ever care. Now they finally had the freedom to speak openly. One woman shook her head. I still remember Lady Verity making me polish the same silver tray 3 times because she claimed she could see fingerprints. Several people laughed, not because the memory was amusing, because Verity no longer possessed power over them. The fear had lost its grip. The old housekeeper sipped her tea thoughtfully. For years they made us believe we were insignificant. She looked around the table. Turns out we needed them more than we needed them.
The observation drew nods of agreement. Theodora realized the gathering was not really about revenge. It was about dignity. People who had been treated as invisible finally understood their own worth. Across the square, children played near a fountain, while merchants prepared to close their shops for the evening. Life continued moving forward, not only for Theodora, for everyone affected by the Holomeres. The conversation eventually shifted toward the future. Several former servants had already found new employment. Others planned to open small businesses. One woman hoped to become a seamstress. Another intended to help manage a family farm. The uncertainty that once frightened them had gradually been replaced by opportunity. As the sun began lowering toward the horizon, Theodora looked around the table once more. She thought about Honoria, the social manipulator who believed fear guaranteed obedience. She thought about Verity, the woman who found pleasure in humiliating others. She thought about the countless moments they used power carelessly because they assumed there would never be consequences. They had been wrong. The downfall of Briarwood House had not simply exposed financial schemes and social manipulation. It had given a voice to people who had spent years being silenced. And as laughter drifted across the table and former servants shared food beneath the fading autumn sunlight, Theodora realized this was the most satisfying victory of all. Justice had not merely punished the guilty, it had finally freed the people they spent years trying to control.